This is Dr. Gary Collins. I'm a psychologist, and it is my privilege to introduce this tape. This tape on marriage has been prepared by Dr. Richard D. Dobbins, counselor, psychologist, and former pastor, who is the founder and current director of Emerge Ministries in Akron, Ohio. This tape is not meant to replace a counselor, to answer all of your questions, or to solve your problems for you. It is intended as a supplement to counseling, an added plus which your counselor would like you to hear and discuss during some later counseling session. We know that this tape can be helpful to you, so listen now as Dr. Dobbins talks to you about marriage.
A senior high Sunday school teacher was making a brave attempt to involve his mixed class in a serious discussion of dating and mate selection. In the course of his presentation, he asked, "I wonder if someone could give me a good definition of marriage." You can imagine the laughter when one joker volunteered, "Well, I've always heard love is blind, and someone told me marriage was an institution, so I guess that makes marriage an institution for the blind." Well, the truth of the matter is that our blind friends often see people's true character more clearly than the sighted. One look at the divorce statistics indicates that many people are blind to what marriage is all about when they first attempt it. In fact, today, 4 out of 10 first marriages in our society end in divorce. This tragedy is compounded by the additional realization that 75% of these first divorces occur before spouses reach their 30th birthday and involve children under 18 years of age. It is encouraging to see the church provide practical Bible-related help to this vast area of human hurt. Actually, when one realizes how little preparation the average couple gets for attempting to launch and to negotiate a 50-year marriage relationship, it's a wonder there aren't more failures than there are. Our communities require a couple to have more training to take an automobile on their streets and highways than they do for a couple to get a license for getting married, having children, and raising a family. If a person's parents have had a successful marriage, then he or she has had the best possible training for marriage. Years of parents demonstrating how to be husband and wife is an unbeatable method of training young people for marriage. Unfortunately, however, children growing up in marriages headed for divorce are also internalizing the attitudes and behaviors of their parents over the years, thus predisposing their own marriages to failure long before they ever meet their mates. Over 80% of the couples seeking help for their marriages at our counseling center indicate their parents were divorced or living in badly strained and unhappy marriages. Since 95% of these couples are believers, the fact must be faced that being born again will not necessarily enable a couple to overcome the influences of a damaged early home environment sufficiently to build a healthy marriage for themselves. In many instances, they are going to need additional help. Hopefully, sharing this information with you will help you to overcome quickly any embarrassment you may tend to feel over not being able to resolve all your marital problems without seeking help from people who are concerned about you. You are to be commended for taking responsible steps toward resolving your differences and building a healthier, more satisfying marriage relationship. Having come this far, don't damage or defeat your efforts in repairing your marriage by attempting to fix blame. It's not really that important to determine who is at fault. Try to view your relationship much as a doctor would his patient. However, in this case, both you and your mate are the doctors responsible for restoring the patient to health. Each doctor must try to determine what he or she can give the patient to aid in the relationship's recovery. Of course, treatment can't begin until some diagnosis of the difficulty has been made. So let me ask you, what do you think is ailing your relationship? Just in case you need some help in responding to that question, let me share with you some of the major complaints made by Christian couples seeking marriage counseling. As I identify these areas, make a list of those you think may be hurting your own relationship. By far, the largest single area of complaint is that of communication. A couple will say, "We can't talk." It is obvious they don't mean they are unable to speak to each other. They do speak to each other, but they don't understand one another. Then, many couples find they frequently differ over the way the family income is managed. This is more often the case when both husband and wife are employed. A third problem area is anger management. This is particularly difficult for believing couples, since they have often been left under the impression that anger should not be a part of a Christian's life. Therefore, guilt over being angry complicates their difficulty. Love deficiencies are another source of frustration for a couple. Often, for a woman, the complaint is that her husband seldom verbalizes his love for her or compliments her. She faults him for not providing her with enough non-sexual love. Frequently, the man complains of sexual rejection or feels that his wife is sexually inhibited. When an extramarital affair figures into a couple's pain, it is usually a symptom of stress or neglect in other areas of their relationship. Often, it results from their love needs not being met in the marriage relationship. In-laws sometimes figure into a couple's difficulty. Early in the marriage, this is most likely to be the husband's mother. Later, when the first child appears, the wife's mother may get involved. Religious differences are also contributors to marital pain. This is especially true when one spouse is a believer and the other is not, or when a couple has attempted to bridge a major faith barrier in their marriage. That is, couples who have attempted to embrace two major faiths, Protestant, Catholic, or Jewish, in the same marriage. Often, sexual maladjustment figures into marital discord. At times, this may simply involve the frequency of sexual lovemaking. However, sometimes it involves disagreement over the kind of activity desired by one partner or the other. Another troublesome area centers in child management. How much responsibility children should assume and how they should be disciplined are issues which can spark uncomfortable disagreements between a couple. Then, when the wife works outside the home, the management of household tasks can give cause for arguments. Well, as you listened to a listing of frequent marital complaints, how many times did you yell, "Ouch"? Remember, you've gone a long way toward resolving your problems when you've been able to identify them. So, if you feel you know some of the areas where your marriage needs work, congratulations. Although each couple is different and will have their own unique problems, in most troubled marriages, one or more of those mentioned above will be a source of concern. So, let me give you some suggestions that you may find helpful in coping with these sometimes painful areas. First of all, let's take the area of communications. Any communications expert will tell you that transferring meaning from one mind to another is extremely difficult. In fact, someone has said that there are at least 6 forms of every spoken communication: what the speaker intended to say, what the speaker said, and what the speaker thought he said. Then, what the hearer needed to hear, what the hearer heard, and what the hearer thought he heard. If one is going to communicate with another, he must learn the language of the other sufficiently well to avoid this kind of confusion. This is particularly true in marriage. Unfortunately, males and females in our culture are raised so different as to make them worlds apart by the time they get married. Typically, each spouse assumes that since they both are living in the same objective world, there is only one way it can be viewed, and that's the way each is seeing it. It is extremely frustrating to each that the other is unwilling to admit the world is obviously the way it appears to be to their mate. It seldom dawns on either of them that it might be that their mate is not so much unwilling to see things differently as that he or she is unable to see things differently. What makes each so blind to their spouse's point of view? Being raised masculine or feminine makes it so. Well, how does one get rid of such mental blinders? Through the practice of a basic Christian concept called compassion. Let me give you a practical definition of compassion. It is the ability to feel with and for another. Compassion enables you to imagine what it would be like to be in someone else's shoes. How can a man develop compassion for his wife? How can a woman develop compassion for her husband? One of the ways of doing this is to imagine how the world would look to you had you lived as long in a body of the opposite sex as you have lived in your own. We are seldom aware of how biased a person's worldview is simply because of our body's sex. As a man, be brave enough to ask yourself, what would the world look like to me had I spent as much time in a female body as I have in a male body? As a woman, dare to ask yourself a similar question. What would the world look like to me had I lived as long in a male body as I have in a female body? Remember, trying to put yourself in your mate's position is simply the practice of compassion, a basic virtue of the Christian faith. Just the willingness to wonder about the differences this would make in your worldviews will help you become less critical and more accepting of each other. What are some of these differences? Well, for example, in our culture, males are taught to be tough and competitive. Emotional expressions are discouraged. You know, big boys don't cry. On the other hand, although females are allowed freer expression of their emotions, they often are taught to feel fearful and guilty over sexual feelings. Again, males growing up in our society get the impression that verbal compliments and expressions of kindness are not masculine. Females are often rewarded for being dependent and submissive. In addition, males, because of their superior physical strength, are allowed greater freedom of movement than females. Although our culture puts less pressure on females for being gainfully employed, it is a must for males to work. Can you imagine what a difficult time two people raised so differently are going to have trying to communicate in marriage? What each of them wants most in marriage is often difficult for the other to provide simply because of the way each has been raised. The man expects his wife to be an interesting and exciting sex partner. The woman expects her husband to be kind, complimentary, and understanding. Each will need the compassion of the other in growing out of the biases of his or her own sex and learning to know the love needs of the other. When a couple begins to understand how different being born male or female makes the same world look, they are on their way to improving their marriage communications. Another way of improving communications is to avoid blaming statements. Learn to make I statements rather than you statements. This will help you to refrain from blaming and giving orders, while enabling you to give your partner important information about your feelings and to ask for favors. Most of us resent having to follow orders, but are more willing to do favors. Never underestimate what sympathetic listening can do to improve your communication. Often a partner is not expecting an answer to his or her complaint. They are only looking for an understanding ear. Now, let's take a look at family finances. As soon as possible, each couple needs to determine what money means to each other. Only when you understand what money means to your mate will you be able to define an intelligent and fair financial policy for your family. Among other things, money may mean power, status, security, control, luxury, charity, or simply a medium of exchange. For my wife and me, money primarily is a means of expressing Christian stewardship. After all, according to Paul, the reason the Christian works is not to get, but to give. In Ephesians 4:28, Paul says it this way, Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. However, beyond that, for me, money is a medium of exchange, and for my wife, it is a source of security. These meanings each of us have given money are largely an outgrowth of how money was viewed in our homes when we were children. In order to make my wife comfortable, I've learned to keep 3 months' living expenses in savings and limit credit buying. In order to satisfy me, she has learned to enjoy some of the good things of life without feeling like a squanderer and without fearing poverty. Once you have discovered what money means to each partner and have provided for each other's comfort, then you need to know what your budget is. List your fixed expenses: stewardship, house payment or rent, food, gasoline, utilities, insurance, and contract payments. Now, estimate the cost of education, clothing, recreation, entertainment, and other expenses. As a rule of thumb, your house payment or rent should not exceed 1 week's family income. If you find yourselves overextended, take a sheet of paper and label 4 columns across the top: nature of contract, total amount of contract, amount of monthly payment, and payoff date. Then list the information from each time payment contract in the appropriate column. By looking at the expiration dates in the column at the extreme right, you can see how much relief you can expect and when you can expect it. Let the mate most capable of managing the money assume responsibility for making budget payments. Both partners should pledge themselves to financial discipline during the time necessary to bring the family budget under control. A family spending policy will help to encourage a healthy budget. Agree on an amount over which neither of you will spend without the consent of the other. For years, my wife and I agreed not to spend more than $50 without the consent of the other. The amount agreed upon will necessarily vary from one couple to the next, but the existence of such a policy will help to minimize financial friction in the family. Extramarital affairs are another source of trouble for couples. They occur 3 times more frequently among unbelievers than they do among believers. However, they do happen to believers. And they are more often symptoms of other ailments in the relationship than they are the primary source of difficulty. For example, if a man does not understand how important it is for him to verbalize his love for his wife frequently, he may unwittingly contribute to her looking elsewhere for the compliments and conversation which are such important parts of a woman's love needs, or he may provoke his wife to retaliate by rejecting him sexually and setting him up for temptation. In fact, one of the most common factors in extramarital affairs is that the couple's sex needs are not being met in the marriage. A couple who is familiar with 1 Corinthians 7, verses 3 to 5, understands that these kinds of rejection are out of place in the mature Christian marriage. Another factor frequently present when a couple has suffered an affair is a need to reestablish one's feelings of sexual adequacy. Often this seems to be found among couples who married when both were in their teens or early 20s. It appears to be an irrational effort to compensate for an abbreviated dating life. However, regardless of the dynamics involved, extramarital affairs are extremely painful and damaging. In-laws may also be cause for concern. When in-laws are the source of marital stress, a couple needs to remember that although it would be nice if the mate could get along with the spouse's parents, it is not necessary. The scriptures say that mates are to cleave to each other and not to their parents. If your mate cannot get along with your parents, don't force the relationship. So long as your mate is willing for you to have a relationship with your parents, there is no real major cause for concern. Although it may be awkward at first, your marriage can survive the inability of your mate and parents to get along. If this kind of breach continues in your family, as the children get older, they should be given a choice as to whether they want to visit their grandparents with their parent or stay at home with their other parent. Admittedly, this is not an ideal arrangement, but it is better than having a major conflict between spouses every time a visit to the in-laws is anticipated. In some marriages, religious differences are of primary contention. Where there are religious differences, every effort should be made to resolve them in such a way that the family can worship together. However, when this is not possible, children should be given a choice as to which church they wish to attend. It is understandable that this choice usually will be made on social rather than doctrinal grounds. However, if they learn to enjoy going to church when they are young, when they are older, they will have additional opportunities to choose their faith on doctrinal grounds. Often, when couples are willing to tolerate the awkwardness of attending different churches initially, time and the desire to be united in faith, as well as in marriage, will enable them to choose a church the whole family can enjoy attending together. Prayer and patience are essential practices in bringing this about. When sexual maladjustment is at fault, it may range from a lack of openness in communicating about sex, to the wife's problems with vaginismus or the inability to achieve orgasm, and the husband's problems with impotence or premature ejaculation. A couple's sexual dissatisfaction often can be remedied by reading a good marriage manual consistent with their faith. Your pastor will be able to recommend one for you. Much growth in sexual fulfillment results from a couple overcoming their personal reluctance to be specific about the activities and kinds of stimulation they find sexually satisfying. The more serious sexual problems referred to will require professional help, but all of these conditions are treatable. Hopefully, your pastor can refer you to a competent professional person who is trained in these areas if you are suffering from any of these problems. Another common factor in marital problems is child management. It is very important that parents agree most often in their approaches to child raising. At times, the spouses will have been brought up under very different systems of child care. Each may feel that his family's approach was the right one. However, any person who is well read in child care knows that there is no one right way to raise children. There are certain broad principles upon which child raising experts agree, but there is no one right way. Therefore, in the event of troublesome differences over how the children should be raised, let me suggest you read together two or three Christian authorities on child care and agree upon an approach with which you both are comfortable. Success in parenting is far more likely to result from both parents agreeing upon an approach that is both biblically and psychologically sound than from one parent stubbornly insisting on raising their children the right way. It's extremely important to successful parenthood that an approach be accepted upon which both parents agree. In marriages where the wife helps to earn the family income, the husband, in all fairness, should help keep the house. This usually can be done most fairly by discussing the daily, weekly, and monthly tasks essential to maintaining the home and agreeing in good faith as to which responsibilities each spouse will assume. If necessary, this can be done in writing. In addition to addressing the problem areas of marriage responsibly, couples need to give attention to preventive practices. The most important of these is praying together. In 1 Peter 3:7, the Apostle stresses the importance of maintaining an unhindered prayer life together in Christian marriage. In the event you are not praying together, let me suggest the husband initiate this practice at mealtime, bedtime, or any other convenient moments of the day. These prayers do not have to be lengthy. Just short sentence prayers will help the Christian husband assert spiritual leadership in his marriage. It will amaze you to see what respect this generates in the Christian wife toward her husband. Then, be sure you are taking time to have some fun together. At least once every 2 weeks, plan to do something alone, without the children or other couples. You need that time together to keep your relationship alive and growing. Practice verbally expressing your love and appreciation for each other. Keep Christ at the center of your relationship. He will give you the courage and inner strength you need to take whatever corrective steps your marriage may need. As you keep Him first in your lives, it will amaze you to discover that the closer each of you draws to Christ, the closer He will help you draw to each other.
This concludes side one of the tape. On your tape guide sheet, you will notice that there are some questions about Dr. Dobbin's presentation. How did this tape help you? We read. Be specific. How have you been hurting your marriage rather than helping? What can you do to help solve your marriage conflict or conflicts? Be specific. Before continuing with this tape, it would help if you could take the time to write your answers to these questions. Please do this before turning over the tape and listening to side two. On side one of this tape, Dr. Richard Dobbins listed some common problems found among Christian couples visiting a counseling center. On your growth sheet, we have listed the 10 common problem areas discussed on side one of the tape. As you read these, please put a little check mark next to those areas which you feel are troublesome for your marriage. Here is the list. Communication, money management, anger management, love deficiencies, extramarital affairs, in-law problems, religious differences, sexual maladjustment, child management, and household responsibilities. Now, you might add to this list any other additional problem areas that concern you about your marriage. Before you continue with the tape, add any other problems that should be added to the list. Please stop the tape and do this now. Now I would like you to go back and look over this list, both the 10 common problems which are printed on your guide sheet and the problems which you added. Please rank the importance of the concerns that you have. Place a number 1 before the item which you consider most serious, and a number 2 before the item which you consider to be next most serious. Continue on down through the list. Please take a moment to do this. Stop the tape now. At this point, we are going to look at the list of 10 problems again. But this time, as you listen, please put an X beside those areas which you think your partner considers to be problems. Here are the 10 areas again. Communication, money management, anger management, love deficiencies, extramarital affairs, in-law problems, religious differences, sexual maladjustment, child management, household responsibilities. Now, when you have listed these areas that your partner considers to be a problem and put an X next to them, go back over the list and rank them again, this time according to the importance that you believe your partner attaches to them. That is, place a 1 before the problem which you believe your partner considers to be most important. Place a 2 next to the problem which you believe your partner considers to be second most important, and so on. When each of you has finished ranking your lists, exchange the lists. Then you can discuss them together. This should help you understand how seriously each of these items is viewed by your partner, and how accurately you have been able to communicate your concerns to your partner. You may also wish to talk these suggestions over with your counselor when you return for further consultations. Please rank the lists now. Exchange them and discuss them together. Stop the tape and do this.
Most of us have little opportunity to imagine what life would be like if we had been born a member of the opposite sex. Let's spend the next 2 or 3 minutes thinking about the ways in which life would be different for you if you had been born a member of the opposite sex. Some of the differences would be advantages for you, and others would probably be disadvantages. List 5 advantages of being a member of the opposite sex. Then list 5 disadvantages for you if you were a member of the opposite sex. You should do this, and your mate should do this. After you have finished, exchange the lists and discuss them. Please stop the tape and do this now. When you return to your counselor, you may want to take these lists with you and discuss both the lists with the counselor and your discussion, which you have just completed following the exchange of these lists. Once a marriage relationship becomes painful, it is easy for a couple to so generalize their dissatisfaction that it is hard for them to be specific about ways in which they can improve their marriage situation. In looking at your own marriage, define 3 things that your mate could do to improve the relationship. Try to be realistic. Be practical. Be specific. What could your mate do to improve your relationship? When you have written down these 3 things, rank them in order of importance. Please stop the tape and do that now. Now define 3 things you believe you could do in order to improve your relationship. Rank these in the order of importance which you believe your mate would attach to them. When you have finished this, exchange the lists with your mate and discuss them together. Please stop the tape and do this now. Prayer is a very important part of every Christian's life, and certainly it needs to be an important part of every Christian marriage. At this time, Dr. Dobbins would like to suggest that you write a prayer of 100 words or less in which you express to God your feelings about your marriage and your hopes for it. Take the time now to write your prayer and then share the prayer with your partner. Please stop the tape and do this now. As we move towards the conclusion of this tape, I would like to tell you about a man named Jim. When he turned 40 several months ago, he noticed that he was feeling more and more depressed. Life didn't seem to have the challenge and excitement that it used to have. His job, something which he had always found challenging, was getting to be a bore for him. Things were going fine with his family, the church, and with his job, except for that recent boredom. Jim knew that his depression was communicating to him that something was not right. So Jim decided to spend some time with his wife, reevaluating their situation. After a couple of hours in a coffee shop, Jim and his wife Pam decided that their lives had gotten into a rut. Everything was running smoothly, but they lacked spark and vitality. With this new insight, Jim and Pam decided that they would like to take some time to work out ways of bringing new life to their family, to their marriage, and to their church involvement. Perhaps the example of Jim and Pam is something which relates to you. It is very easy, after several years of marriage, to get into a rut and to discover that life is not as exciting as it was, especially when we were younger and when we were in the early days of our marriage. But like Jim and Pam, who worked out their differences and found a new vitality in their marriage, you can do so too, with the help of the Lord and with your counselor. Perhaps the example of Jim and Pam is something which you and your mate may want to discuss and to apply their experiences to your marriage. Later, you and your counselor can discuss this together. At this point, we come to the end of side 2 of the tape. Please don't forget to return the tape to your counselor and to take along any notes that you have taken or any growth activities that you have completed while listening to this tape. The examples on this tape are either fictitious or used with the permission of the people involved. Any resemblance to people that you might know is purely a coincidence.